Review Chair, State Senator from the 21st District, Senator Kevin Kelly. Senator, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good, good. Although very nervous, Senator, because as you know, the Finance, Revenue, and Bonding Committee will have a hearing today, and Governor Malloy's budget chief, Benjamin Barnes, will discuss the governor's proposed quote-unquote revenue adjustments. I interpret revenue adjustments to mean tax hikes.
Tax
what do you
hikes.
Say?
Big ones. Big ones.
Well, you interpret it correctly. I mean, anytime the government puts its hand into our pocket to take our hard-earned money away, you can call it a fee, you can call it an adjustment, you can call it a revenue enhancement. It's all a tax. And that's what this governor has continued to lead with. He's given us the two largest tax increases in our state's history. And now, once again, he's back at it.
You know, I can't understand when I saw this story of yours, Senator. I mean, somebody picking this up and say it's an adjustment, an increase in gas taxes, cigarette taxes, hotel tax, real estate conveyance tax, new tariffs. This is what kills me. New tariffs on tires and non-prescription drugs, elimination of property taxes and business tax deductions. I mean, this is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and let's not forget the 7 cents on a gallon of gas and the imposition of tolls on our roads throughout the state of Connecticut. Another cruel fact in this, too, is the governor wants to repeal we just took the income tax off Social Security and pension income for our seniors, and he wants to take that away, too.
I can't believe it. What it's going to do
again,
to all of us.
But once again, this is Dan Malloy's vision of leadership. You know, he always likes to chide his opponents, but the fact of the matter is, every single time he wants to do a new initiative and take our state somewhere, it always leads with taxes. And the fact is, he has a lot of people in the legislature from his own party that follow him on that road. And, you know, it's just the wrong one for Connecticut at this time.
Senator, how do we close this deficit?
Well, I think you look at what we were doing before. We need to have a conversation that looks at everything on the table. Everything has to be on the table. You can't just say, okay, there's some sacred cows, and we can't touch those special interests because one reason or another. This is actually, and no pun intended, a rainy day. This is a special circumstance. It's an emergency for the state of Connecticut. And the fact of the matter is, this is coming at a time that not only do we have a deficit, we have a poor economy, we're losing jobs, and the people of Connecticut, our families, our friends, our neighbors, the United Way put a report out a couple years ago. It was entitled the Alice Report, that talks about how Connecticut families are experiencing what's called ALICE, Asset Limited Income Challenged Employed. And that number continues to grow. There is such financial frustration and stress on Connecticut's families that to come out and say, let's start with taxes, is just not listening to our constituents. We've got to figure this out. But it's not going to be, let's just add more taxes to the equation, because that's the easy way for the governor to not only protect his special interests, but try to fund the programs that I'm going to say his administration thinks are important.
You know, Senator Kelly, something that has bothered me, and it seems to get bigger and bigger, that he seems to be very disappointed because he wasn't included on everything. And you remember when that came.
Well, during the budget negotiations.
During the budget negotiations. And he just wasn't included. And it's like, well, I'm still the governor, and this is what I'm going to do. That's what hit me.
Well, yeah, he certainly exhibits that characteristic that when he doesn't get his way, he gets very petulant and very very angry. But, you know, I just go back to not only, I think it was 2016, But in all my budget negotiations, I was first elected in 2010 with Governor Malloy, took office the same day he did. And last year was the first year that the Republicans actually had a seat at the table. He not only blocked us out, but in 2016, when we were debating the actual budget on the floor of the Senate, I was shut down by the majority. I was not allowed to even speak on the budget. So I share a measure of, I understand what it's like to be shut out of the process, but I find it a little bit disingenuous that he would actually have that attitude after having cut us out for so many years, for so long during his tenure. And now he doesn't like what's going on because, you know what, people are actually sitting down and putting Connecticut families first, something that hasn't happened under his administration.
Right. Okay, Senator, hang in there. We're going to get back to you. We're coming up on a break, Brad, and then we'll be back with Senator Kevin Kelly. But I know this is going to be the last time during this stretch that we're going to be chatting with Cindy Waitman. And just a note to our audience, next week we'll be changing traffic reports. But I just want to say, and I know you feel the same way, Cindy, what an honor it has been to share this microphone with you morning after morning. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
No, you know, Cindy, you have been very, very special to all of us. You really, really have. And I will never forget the mornings and what you have contributed to our programs.
So thanks a million, and don't get stuck in traffic.
All right, I'm going to miss you guys so much.
Thanks.
So let's get to the roads. On 84, we are working on some slowdowns through Waterbury and heading into Hartford. 9 North is busy through the Aragone Bridge stoplights. Route 2 West, you're snarled up through Glastonbury. More delays into the Founders Bridge. And Wilpercross Parkway, still a little bit busy near the Orange Rest area from an earlier accident. Metro North is on or close to schedule. We do have flight delays at Bradley International Airport, so check with your airline before you go. The airport itself is open. This report is brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. Did you know that 1 in 6 Americans struggles with hunger? Visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Together, we're feeding America. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:34 with your last traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
And also a reminder that Cindy's traffic also brought to you by Bouvier Insurance. If you are thinking about changing your insurance company, you know, I think you should talk to Bouvier. They are just right there, talented, helpful, and they make you feel like you're part of the business. Bouvier Insurance, with offices in West Hartford. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock.
Brad, back with our guest, State Senator Kevin Kelly, talking about the latest, as the governor is proposing more tax increases to close Connecticut's budget deficit. Senator, I guess, and I'm sure you hear this from your constituents, we were told by this administration on numerous occasions, every time they hike taxes, and hike taxes significantly, this would solve our budget problems, but the problems persist. Talk about that.
Well, I mean, they do persist. And one of the problems is particularly with the budget that was adopted last year, was, you know, we didn't get to that until October. But the governor made sure that his special interest was taken care of. He's dealt with the pension issue, which was a $5 billion problem, that solved it by, quote-unquote, smoothing it out, in his words. But it was then going to cost the taxpayers $12 billion to fix it if we get a 7.9% return on the investment of the pension funds, which has not happened in the past, you know, I don't know, at least in the past 8 years, probably 10 or so. So it's probably more like a $12 to $20 billion problem. It's those types of decisions as to why the taxpayers are constantly put in harm's way. He then had the CBAC deal in the summer where he took care of the state employee unions, again, at a cost to the taxpayers. Now, once again, he's boxed us, he's painted the taxpayers into a corner, and he's now saying, oh, well, there's no money to go around, because he's already spent it for his projects. And now he comes back and says we need, you know, more taxes to deal with this. And the thing here is, if Connecticut residents share my belief that we are too taxed, we are overtaxed, and the governor continues to lead with taxes, today is a public hearing on that at the Capitol at noon. And if they want to get a written message in, they could send that via email to fintestimony@cga.ct.gov and just reference Senate Bill 10 and get their comments in. Let the governor hear from Connecticut families that we've had enough.
You know, one of the things, too, Senator Kelly, that has upset many, many people, I hear it, Dan hears it, is this a tax on tires. I mean, how is that going to work, and what is that going to do to us? Every time that we have to buy a tire, there's going to be another tax on the tire?
Exactly. You know, and this is, once again, it's after he's painted the taxpayer into the corner. Now he turns around and says, oh, there's no money for roads and bridges, despite the fact that Republicans have put forward prioritized progress, which would invest about over $60 billion in infrastructure over the next 30 years without tolls, without new taxes. But here's the governor. He's coming back. He wants that charge on tires. He wants 7 cents on a gallon of gas that we already pay, you know, 41 cents of state tax on the gallon, and then wants to put tolls. And many people are fooled by the conversation on tolls, that they're just going to be on the borders. Well, they're not.
They're going to be everywhere.
They're going to be embedded throughout the state, and he needs up to 20 cents a mile in order to make his transportation plans work. And what that means to, for instance, in my town, if I have one of my constituents commute from Stratford to Stamford 5 days a week, 48 weeks out of the year, that's almost $3,500 in new taxes to that middle-class family. It's ridiculous.
Terrible.
It's beyond the pale.
Where do you think this is all going to end up?
It's got to end. We can't go on like this.
Sure. Well, where I think it'll end first in the foreseeable future is that I think General Assembly leaders will get together and look at a budget that solves this problem. And if the governor wants to get involved without his tax increases, he's more than welcome, but I doubt he will. Then what we got to do is look at, you know, who's running for office in the fall, and let's focus on what's really important to Connecticut: jobs, our economy, and our tax structure. Those are what's important. I think the other side of the aisle is going to try and confuse the issue with Washington and Donald Trump and all kinds of social issues, but the real issue that affects Connecticut families is its finance. And what we need to do is ask the candidates, where do you stand on taxes? Are you in favor of them, like the governor and most Democrats, or are you against them? And I think that's how we're going to change Connecticut and put it on a new track.
Well, I think, again, if they are going to continue their campaign on the president, I think they're going to run into a problem there, because if you look at some of the polls right now, the majority likes what he is doing, and so does the working man and the working woman, the latest that he's just come out with. And again, so I don't think that that's going to be as useful as it has been in the past. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
Well, we are in a bind, and you know, Senator, this fiscal commission came out, as you know, with its report, and I'm sure you want to digest it in detail. What I've read, just the stories, I'm a bit concerned, because it goes back to the old tax on top of a $1 billion cut. And I know they talk about cutting the income tax, estate tax, et cetera, but we're in a crisis situation in this state, and people need to get a wake-up call.
We are, and, you know, while I, you know, anybody that wants to get involved in public service and make a sacrifice to help the community, I always appreciate, even if I don't necessarily agree with what their viewpoint is. But here, you do have a bunch of people who were on that committee who are not, I'm going to say, responsive to the voters. Because when you are responsive to the voters and representing your constituents and talking with your neighbors, the people who actually pay those taxes, you get a clear flavor that they can't sustain more taxes. And that's why this, while the report, you know, came to a conclusion, most of those individuals, if not all those individuals, aren't elected. and they live in a different economic, socioeconomic perspective than most middle-class families in Connecticut who don't have the luxury of just walking into their boss and saying, hey, I'm an hourly employee, I need a raise to pay the taxes. It doesn't work that way. People sustain a tax that hits the family budget. Now they have to do without something, and they've been doing out with for many things after the two largest tax increases that this governor has given us for the past 7 years. They've made their sacrifices. It's time the government itself made its sacrifice.
Yeah, no question.
Can anybody in the future, though, take a look at some of these things that are going to be passed and signed and so on and so forth? To do away with some. How does that happen, and can you do that?
Well, sure. I mean, you got to look at a lot of these, you know, you got to look at the whole budget. I mean, and I think what you need to do is go through the budget line by line and see what the state can do to help people. There's more than one way to get to a healthy bottom line. We could start to look at, if we can't give towns and cities money, we could look at repealing mandates. If we can't make the business climate more beneficial, maybe we could get some regulation and red tape off job creators' back. Look at ways that we can become more efficient, just like you do it in your household budget. When your taxes go up and your wage doesn't, well, now instead of buying Cheerios, you buy Big Y Oreos or whatever they are. You do what you have to do. And that's the most thing that I think is just kind of twisted, is that every single legislator has to live in that world at their own house. But when they get under that dome, for some reason, they think they can behave financially different. And if they behave the way they do under the dome in their own house, their house would be in foreclosure, their car would be repossessed, and they'd be filing for bankruptcy. It just doesn't work. But for some reason, that common sense gets checked at the door, and we got to change that.
Well, tremendous. Oh boy,
Senator, we're at a crossroads. It comes down to that. We're at a crossroads.
Yep.
That's why this election in November is so significant.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. As always, thanks very much for spending some time with us this morning.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and have a safe afternoon.
You too. Take care.
Senator Kevin Kelly, 21st District.